Okay. Well, I tell you what, on Monday, did y'all get something out of that one on guilt? Did it reverberate a little bit? Did it get you to thinking? Cool. That was definitely the Lord that night, because I was planning on something completely different. Hold on just a second. No, it says there's too many searches and addings going on. They won't let me do it, Sheldon. Anyway, on the Monday, I even, the Lord kind of spoke to me, too, through some of that. Praise the Lord. Well, first of all, does anybody have any questions, comments, anything you want to ask about or discuss? Please feel free. We'll do that first. All right. Well, if there's no questions or anything that anybody wants to discuss, I'd like to start in chapter 5 tonight of John. Let me just read, and then we'll get to what we want to talk about. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now, there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. 5 covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used it, like the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, and learned that he had been in that condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid required, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." And then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." This doesn't make sense to me. It says "at since," it should be "and." "And since the man was cured, he picked up his mat and walked." That's where it's a typo there. I've never seen that before. At once the man was cured. Okay. "He picked up his mat and walked." The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick up your mat and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may befall you, may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Now, we know what happens later. Jesus gets accused of healing someone on the Sabbath. Jesus gets accused of working on the Sabbath. But notice what the Jews did. This is really interesting. They saw the guy walking with his mat. Now, did they know what it was a mat? Did they know what it was for? I mean, you've really got to ask yourself some questions here. The day that this took place was a Sabbath, and so the Jews. Notice how it says, "and so the Jews." And so the Jews. In other words, this can be expected because it's a Sabbath, that the Jews would say something to this. "It was a Sabbath, and so the Jews." "Said to the man who had been healed, 'It is a Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat.'" Wow. "The law forbids you to carry your mat." So they knew what he was carrying, right? It's not that they looked at him and seen him with a bundle and says, "The law refuses you to carry your bundle. The law forbids you to carry your groceries. The law forbids you to carry your laundry. The law forbids you to carry your mat." Now, come on. How many of you realize now they knew what the mat was and therefore knew what it was for? This is important. They knew that it was a mat and therefore had a pretty good idea what it was for. Because if you're walking around the city during the day and you see people laying on mats, it's because they're what? Come on, somebody help me out here. This is a common sight, wasn't it? It was a common sight to see people laying on mats. because they're crippled, because they're an invalid, because they can't get around, because they're a beggar. But look what they said to him. They didn't remark about, wow. Notice what they didn't say. Of all the things they could have said, well, you must be one of those fakers. You look perfectly healthy carrying around your mat. You know, what are you going to do? Go find a place to lay out and act like a beggar? Come on. They didn't say that to him, did they? Really get into this. Really think about this. They didn't say, oh, you must have been healed. You're carrying your mat. They told him it was against the law to carry his mat. The law forbids you to carry your mat. I want you to remember something from from Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. The law stood as an obstacle against you. Jesus nailed it to his cross, taking it out of the way. The law stood as an obstacle against you. Because what does the law do? The law condemns you. The law doesn't heal you. The law doesn't lift you up. The law keeps you down. Everybody start to get that? This is exactly what the devil does and why it goes on there in Colossians and says, no, the law doesn't accuse you. It's not the law that accuses you. The devil accuses you by the law, just as they were accusing this man by the law. But the law can't heal you. Remember what it says. Yeshua man says, no, I don't think you're getting my point. Yeshua man, it tells us very clearly in Romans, doesn't it? That the law was powerless to save you in that it was weakened through the flesh. Right? The law was not meant for righteous people. Romans is for those who keep the law. No, I'm sorry. Romans is not for those who keep the law. Look, you want to teach law keeping, you need to go somewhere else. We're in the middle of a lesson, okay? All right. Romans 7:1. And as we have went over Romans chapter 7 in this class, I think you all can see the fallacy of him quoting that out of context. As a matter of fact, Romans 7:7, the law is the knowledge of sin. It's what tells you you're a sinner. So you can see the Jews were acting just like Satan does. They were accusing according to the law. They might as well have said, what gives you the right to be all healed when you're under the condemnation of the law? You're a sinner. They might as well have said that. It would have been no different. Right? Because you know what? Because the law can't heal you, all the law can do is tell you what you are, and therefore you find condemnation. They use the law to accuse him. Right? And this tells you something. Isn't it true that apart from grace, the grace of God, and God's intervention through Christ, we would all be considered dead under the law, we would all be condemned under the law, and we would all perish under the law? Right? There are no miracles in that. There is no healing in that. There is no grace in that. How many of you see that? There's nothing a person who is under the law can do to make themselves better because they can't fulfill it. Y'all see what I'm getting at now? And this is what's interesting. Jesus didn't say, well, you know, you can be, he asked, do you want to be well? And then listen what it says. He didn't just say it. He didn't just suggest it. He didn't just promise it. He said this. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. Later, when the man talked to the Jews, he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up thy mat and walk. Jesus commanded him to pick up his mat and walk. Now, according to the principles of the law, the man should have remained an invalid. Jesus went beyond the law, didn't he? Pick up your mat and walk. The Jews, noticing that this guy is somebody, they act just like the devil does, an accuser. How is it you're walking? It's not lawful for you to carry your mat on the Sabbath. Think about it. Let me ask you, would the devil have said it any differently? Would the devil have said it any differently? And this teaches us a lesson, guys. You want to see the power of God at work in your life? Like Jesus would say, do you want to get well? And I'm not just talking about being an invalid, because believe me, in this figure of this man being an invalid, he was looking for something beyond even his religion to fix him. He was looking for something, somebody to help him. There was a dependence there, wasn't there? There was an acknowledgement, I can't fix this. When the water stirred, I can't get myself down there. You could say he was hoping against hope. See, that would have been a healing according to the law. Because what did they believe stirred the water? How many of you know this? What did they believe stirred the water in the Pool of Bethesda? Yeah, an angel. They believe angels stirred the water. And if you could step down when the water was stirred, you'd be healed. Who is it? Who is it that put the law? In other words, who is it that administrated the law? It was angels, wasn't it? So the old man was looking for something that would never happen. He was hoping against hope. And he acknowledged that there was nothing he could do. He was an invalid. And the idea of an invalid is that you are powerless. You are powerless. Isn't that what you have to admit in order to receive the grace of Christ? That you can't fulfill the law? That you are powerless? That you cannot change your life? Now, there's a lot we could talk about here, but we need to stick to this point because this is the point you need. The point you need is to understand that you are not going to find the life you're looking for in this normal fleshly life of things. Let me tell you, there's other laws besides the law of Moses. There's other laws, like the law of gravity. What goes up must come down. The law of entropy. When things start to degrade, they get worse and worse. They don't get better. The second law of thermodynamics. Order doesn't result from chaos. Chaos just goes to worse chaos. When you throw the ball up into the air and it reaches its apex, it comes down, it degrades. When people reach a certain age, rising to that age in a growth cycle, there's always the cycle of decline. If you're 30, guess what? You're going to be 35. And if you continue living, you're going to be 40. And you're going to be 50. And you're going to be 60 and 70 and so forth. And it's not going to get better. It's going to decline. It's going to get worse and worse. Those are laws. Those are laws that don't change. And you can look for a Bethesda all you want. You can look for, you know, for drugs and human growth hormones and whatever it is they're peddling to, you know, plastic surgery, you name it. Anything you can think of to extend your life and to gain back your youth. But guess what? It's all a lie because you're going to decline. Things are going to get worse and worse. And there ain't nothing you can do to change that. You are helpless. You're an invalid. You cannot overcome old age. You can't overcome the consequences of the laws that are at work on you. Gravity will compress you more and more every day. Everybody understand that, right? And yet people are still looking for their answers in this way. See, Jesus came to him as a surprise, as he did to all of us, really. Why does Jesus have the power to command something of you beyond what the law requires? Because he has the power to empower you to do it. That's why. Jesus is not going to tell you take up your mat and walk if he doesn't empower you to do it. See, this is God's intervention into this, all of this that must pass away. And you can see it plainly. How many of you can see it plainly here in this story? That this is what it's all about, is God's intervention. That there is a higher law at work. This is the difference between the law of sin and death and the law of the Spirit of life. See, this is why on the double-edged sword is about justice and mercy. Because if all we had was justice, there'd be no healing. there'd be no forgiveness. There'd be no eternity. There'd be no change. It would be just as the law means it to be. So this has got to give you an insight about this life, doesn't it? First, it gives you an insight about the law. The law measures what's possible and what's not as far as the natural order of things. The law is that set of equations, right? The law shows you that balance. The law shows you those ends. The law shows you those boundaries. And, you know, the flesh will come this far and no further. The physical will come this far and no further. And it's a law that for every stage of growth, there's a stage of decline. And part of that law is that you can't change it because you're in it. You're in it. You're under it. Everybody whose body right now, your spirit right now through faith may be out of it, may be free to dwell in the heavenly realms with Christ through faith. But guess what? Your body's still under it. Right? You don't believe me? Look in the mirror. Becoming a Christian did not make your body better. You can see, and this is the point, you can see the part of you that's still under law and the part of you that's not. And it will go that way unless God intervenes, right? He's got to intervene. And you know what he's going to say? And it's very similar to what Jesus said to this invalid. As Jesus said, rise, take up your mat and walk, and commanded him, is the same way that Jesus commanded to Lazarus to step out of the grave. Lazarus, come out. It's the same command that's given when Jesus returns to raise the dead. He will call you and you will obey. You see it? And you'll leave one realm to enter into another. That's all here, isn't it? It's all right here in this story, isn't it? We longed for something. We looked for something. But we didn't even really know what to look for until it came. And I think about all these people who have ideas. They know that there's something that'll make it better, and they hold on to that, and that's faith. But they have no idea about the hour of its visitation or when it'll happen. This man waited 38 years. And he was still looking to be healed. Think about you. See, this also has very much to do with you learning how God's will works. Let me read this part again. Do you want to get well? Jesus asked the man. Verse 7, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. But I'm trying to get in. Someone else goes down ahead of me. And Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Jesus would not give you the command. This is the point you got to learn about God's will. Jesus would not give you the command if he wasn't going to give you the power. Jesus would not give you the promise if he wasn't going to empower you. Hold on just a moment. I am teaching class right now. Yes. But he wouldn't give you the power. I mean, he wouldn't give you the promise if he wasn't going to empower you. He would not give you the faith to believe for something if he wasn't going to fulfill it. This is a piece of the puzzle of your life. This is a piece you can hold on to because it shows you the fact. It demonstrates the fact. It demonstrates the fact that Jesus has the power to speak beyond what binds you. Jesus has the power to free you. Jesus has the power to release you. Jesus power has the power to overrule what has ruled you. Jesus gives you the ability to obey. So think about this, because we're not just talking about healing and miracles here. We're also talking about the power to live a Christian life. Jesus would not command your obedience if he didn't give you the power to obey. That's what you need to take away from this. You have the power to obey. All of those things that you think it's impossible for people to do, yes, it is under the law. It is for people who do not know God. It is for people who are trapped in that beginning and end circumstance. It is for people who are ruled by these boundaries. It is for people who are still walking and living according to the flesh and its boundaries. It's not for you. Because God has required of you things that are impossible for you to do. And he would not require you if the power wasn't already there to do it. He would not require of you to love one another if he wasn't going to supply the power you needed to do that. He would not require of you to be patient in dire circumstances if it wasn't going to be provided the power to do it. He would not command you to turn the other cheek if his power wasn't there to give you the ability to do it. He would not command you to put down the booze or the hash pipe if he wasn't going to give you the power to do it. You see it? How many of you see that? That's a fact. That is a piece of the puzzle of your faith. That is the power of God at work in you now. That's the reality of God. That's the here and now. And that's the same exact working of his power by which this man got up and carried his mat. And the world will accuse you. The world will accuse you. Who do you think you are? But that doesn't have to be a factor. You just tell them, hey, Jesus told me to get up and carry my mat, so I am. Talk to him. I obey a higher law. I'm not under those boundaries anymore. I'm not under the law that was powerless to save me. I'm under the law of the Spirit of life. Amen? That's a good place to stop. Questions or comments?
Oh, you brought me foodies. Oh, bless your heart. Thank you very much. Cool. Thank you very much.
The beans and all that stuff.
Thank you. You're a good son.
I'm going to go and lay down. It's almost 9 o'clock.
Okay.
It's been about an hour. I think I'm going to figure you all stuff.
Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. You want to go sore for us?
I'm just going to go.
All right. I love you. Bye-bye.